Hi guys, on this show we're looking at Richards, Stewart, Jacobi, McIntyre, Gross, Carter, Ward and Bacon. We're looking at 1990s Tremors.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of 100 Things We Learn From Film. I'm one of your hosts, my name's Planty, and I'm a snakeoid.
Oh, and I'm the other guy, and I'm all shook up. Uh-huh. Tremors.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Very good. Whoop, whoop.
Indeed, John. How are you?
I'm all right, mate. I'm all right. Just living a good life. It'll be soon time for me to take my thermals off because it's not as cold outside anymore. I'm an outside working man.
Yeah, tell me about it, mate. Changing temperature. My fucking knuckles have all broken. So I need to start taking care of my skin at my age.
You need a bit of regime.
Absolutely, I do. I need to. Although, actually, I've got to share this right now. I went and got my haircut, my holiday haircut today. And I went to a barber's I've never been to before, listeners. Turkish barber's, of course, because it has to be. And the guy shaved my head. And then, obviously, he was quite a quiet lad and it was a very busy barber's. And he leaned in and he went, "Do you want skin?" And I went, "What?" And he went, "Do you want skin?" And I went, "Yes, please." I had no idea what he meant. What he meant was, "Do I want skin fade?" And of course I did.
Oh, of course you did. I thought skin on skin. You want skin on skin.
He puts the lotion on his skin.
Or else it gets it going again.
John, what are we talking about this week on 100 Things We Learn From Film?
1990s Tremors, back in the day, big man, 90s.
Oh, man, 1990s Tremors. Now, you must have a relationship with this film, because I certainly do.
Oh, God, aye. Yeah, yeah. It came out at a time when there was a lot going on, but do you know what made it? I think Kevin Bacon made this film. I think Bacon really made it, because other than that, it would just been a worm film, but it seemed to work.
Yeah, okay, I'll let you have that one. He's all right in it. I think it's a good ensemble cast, personally, and the worms. The worms make it for me.
And the worms.
But, 1990, what else could we have been talking about?
So, we've been looking at It, which was a miniseries.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. What's on. Miller's Crossing.
Oh, brilliant, yeah.
Yep.
Future episode, by the way.
Arachnophobia.
Oh, Rachel watched that only this week.
Total Recall.
Okay, yeah, great movie.
Die Hard 2. Try to look for a end on a high.
Ghost.
Was it? No.
Ghost.
Jacob's Ladder. Oh, so it was Ghost.
No, I've got a fact about Ghost later on. Yeah,
no ending on a high, that.
Jacob's Ladder. Yeesh.
Jacob's Ladder, it's pretty grim, isn't it? And ending on a high, March for Death.
Seagal.
This is Seagal.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll allow it.
Thank you.
Of course, if you like what we do, listeners, please go to our website, which is 100thingswelearnedfromfilm.co.uk. There you can find all of our links, including our socials. You can also find a link to our Patreon. Now, people pay us £1 a month and they get to choose a film. This is the second patron's choice of this month, as it was a tie.
Yep.
Last week we did Jeepers Creepers. Where'd you go?
So good.
Creepers. And this week, obviously, we're doing this one. So if you want to give us a quid, you'll get a shout out at some point in the episode. You will also get the chance to vote in March for an April episode, or in April, whenever I get my shit together for an episode. But yeah, this is the second episode of Monster March. Oh, that link, by the way, if you wanted to do the Patreon thing and you didn't want to do it through the website, you can do that at patreon.com/100thingsfilm. Little bit of a treat coming up. If we can get more patrons, I am going to pledge to do something else really silly, and this one might end up getting me in jail.
It's a bit time something dead.
Instead of just reading out smut, I could end up in jail with this one.
Oh,
but more on that as the episode goes. John, are you ready to go through the film?
I certainly am, sir. Certainly
okay,
am.
Well then, let us begin. We open, this one is a No Frills production. You're not wrong. Cheap don't come close. No Frills Productions was founded in 1988 by Gail Ann Hurd, with a focus on B-movies and low budget. In 1993, it was merged into Pacific Western Productions, which was also set up by Heard. Are you with me so far, John?
Yes, I am there.
Good. Because in 2000, she then folded the pair of them into Valhalla Motion Pictures. But that, John, was not enough, because in 2017, she merged that into Valhalla Entertainment.
Bloody hell.
Now, look, what a person does with their own business is their own business. Pardon the pun. But is there anyone out there that knows Gail? Can you confirm if she's in the fucking mob? Because that is mob behaviour.
There's a lot going on in that now.
Mafia behaviour. Anyway, various different companies that she's had have produced Aliens, The Terminator, The Abyss, and 1 million episodes of The Walking Dead, the most boring zombie property ever committed to celluloid.
Yeah, apart from the first 60 episodes. That was it.
Oh, that first episode, wow!
It was a novelty, and then, everything else, ruined it.
He's rubbish, isn't he, Egg? Any rubbish, any crap. Why didn't they have Miles instead, who went on to be the bloke on the pirate ship?
It brings it all back, doesn't it?
I don't know what any of the other ones of them went on to. Yep. There was the Scottish lassie. She was quite broad.
Scottish lassie. There was an Asian lassie. I bet they were the only two.
Egg's girlfriend. Yeah. Girlfriend of Egg.
They two were the only cool ones, weren't they?
It's the fact that, yeah, and again, I know I'm really bad at names, this is, but I don't remember the names of Egg's girlfriend and the other lassie that lived with them, who probably had sex with Egg's dad. Did I make that up? Anyway, what is it? This Life? Was it called This Life?
This Life, yeah.
This Life. Right, listeners, This Life cast is what we're calling this. It's the podcast nobody asked for. Right, so we open with Valentine, Kevin Bacon, yep. And he's taking a wee in the desert. John, here's a fun fact from VersusTexas.com. Public urination in the eyes of the law falls under the category of disorderly conduct in the state of Texas. Specifically, section 4201 of the Texas Penal Code defines disorderly contact as the act of exposing his anus or genitals in a public place and is reckless about whether another may be present who will be offended or alarmed by his act. I say alarmed by his act. I don't know why he's turned it to fucking legal. It sounds to me like cowboys aren't quite as rough and tough as they like us to think, John.
I think it's like
what a bunch of broke back bitches. Yeah.
All in act.
The consequences of a Class C misdemeanor, it goes on to say, could be more significant than you might think. If you're found guilty, you could possibly face a fine of up to $500 and a final conviction on your record.
Mate.
That's what you're getting if you're weeing in public, which I don't think should be an offence. Unless, of course, you're getting your cock out in front of some cows.
Unless it's school or something. That's, aye.
Yeah, exactly.
Which leads you straight on your stampedes.
Just a little bit. Yeah, Valentine heads to this truck, and we see Fred Ward's Earl Bassett asleep in the back. Val jumps on the truck and screams, "Stampede!" Earl falls out the truck and says he was once in a stampede of 300 cows, John.
Right.
He says, well, how many cows make a stampede? The answer to this, by the way, listeners, is one, if the cow is big enough.
Well, I tried to look up as well, and it says that the weirdest thing that has caused a stampede, this is on record, the weirdest thing that's caused a stampede is tumbleweed blown into a herd of cows. So they're literally shit, because there's a lot that makes a thunder, there's even people jumping their horses, but if they get spooked, so tumbleweed seems to be a bit of a bastard to them.
Not to be confused with 80s pop act, Grumbleweeds.
We are the Grumbleweeds. Oh, Jesus Christ.
Christ, who Hold is this low. For?
Every Saturday night, watch that.
Indeed you did. Yeah. Kevin Bacon, John. 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon, of course, is a game, isn't it? I'm not going to force you to do it because you'd have been shit at it. It's good fun, but I don't know any actors' names myself, so I'm not very good at it. But I tell you who comes up on things all the time. His wife, Kyra Sedgwick, right?
Yeah.
And I always say to Rachel, what do we know her from? And she goes, she's married to Kevin Bacon. I'm like, well, it's the role of a lifetime, baby. Right.
That's a claim to fame, isn't it?
I know. Yeah. 6 degrees of being married to Kevin Bacon. So she's always 7 degrees, minimum 70, maximum 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon.
Aye.
Unless she's in something he's in.
So she really is.
Echoes or something.
She really is celebrity by association, isn't it?
In fairness, I think she's probably won more awards than him. She was in that long-running TV show about, I don't know, the fucking commish or something.
General Hospital.
We've all been in a general hospital this week. Oh no, just me. He's got a charity, I like this, and it's called 6 Degrees. Founded in 2007, it helps young people have safe space in communities. Should you want to donate, you can do so at 6degrees.org or at patreon.com/100thingsfor. None of it will go to charity.
Nice.
Just go to us to spend on merch for you lot. But, you know, anyway. Stampede, John, the term comes from the Mexican-Spanish term estampida, or an uproar. As you've said, anything such as a gunshot, lightning strike, someone jumping off a horse, or even a horse shaking itself, have been known to cause stampedes.
Bloody cows.
They take a cigarette break, Marlboro, obvious, and they argue over breakfast. Yesterday was bologna and beans. They do rock, paper, scissors, and Val loses. We learn they're handymen and have been putting up a fence. Today's garbage day. $50 they get, and they're useless, and they've got shitty jobs.
They really do.
Quite a few things there, John. Marlboro, in order to comply with the two... We have done Marlboro before, so I found to find some different ones. In order to comply with 2006 court ruling, United States versus Philip Morris USA Inc. et al., it's quite a title, Philip Morris and all other cigarette companies are now prevented from using words such as lights, ultralights, medium, mild, or any similar designation that may yield the impression of being safer than regular full-flavoured cigarettes. Thus, Marlboro and other cigarette companies only use colour coding instead. For example, Marlboro Lights are now called Marlboro Gold Pack.
Right, God.
Bit of a mouthful. I mean, it depends how many you put in, I guess. The red and white packaging was designed by designer Frank Giannito. There you go.
Of course it was. Ferrari red? Of course it was.
Yeah, of course. Of course it was, yeah. Bologna, John, in 2017, Americans purchased £236.4 million of bologna from grocery stores. But only 35% of American consumers know what bologna actually is. Them and us both, I assume. Until now, it's a pork paste, basically, that's moulded and boiled. And it's from the city of Bologna, like mortadella meat, which is much tastier. It's got like olives and peppercorns and things in. Much, much tastier. They spot a red truck in the distance and head to see who it is. It's Rhonda Lebeck, the new seismologist. She asks if there's drilling or blasting happening nearby, and any drilling of mining causes strange readings on a seismological meter thing. Yeah. None of it happened, but she's still getting bad readings.
Bad vibes, literally.
Yes, indeed. She's got this zinc block on her nose, by the way.
Yeah.
She's got the zinc block. Remember that stuff? I didn't think
did it actually work.
Like Australian cricketers wear it a lot. It's called Zinker Nose Coat, which I think is also the name of a Russian politician. From their website, with 25% zinc oxide, the original nose coat is the best total sunblock protection available. Visible on your skin, Zinker Nose Coat reflects sunlight, blocks out UVA and UVB rays, and is highly water resistant. Available in 10 different colours, from flesh-coloured to neon, so you can let your personality shine. £9.99 a tube.
Zinker Nose Coat does sound like a Bond girl, doesn't it? Hello, Zinker.
Named after your father, no doubt. That doesn't really work. They speed off and leave her to it. Earl explains that Val needs to go for women other than vapid blondes. He's like, I'm a victim of circumstance. I thought you called it your pecker. But Burt Ward's good in this. R.I.P. by the way.
Jesus.
Yeah, just forget that he's dead.
Second time we've worked with this boy, isn't it?
What else did we have him in?
Euro trip. Road trip.
Who is he? Oh, he's the dad.
He's Hugh's dad, aye? He's Hugh's dad.
Yes, of course he is. Yeah, good point. Yeah, he's good in this. He's good in a lot of stuff. But specifically, I quite like him in this. I realise I just called him Burt Ward, but that's Robin from Batman, isn't it? Baby on board, something, something, Burt Ward. Yeah. Say, this thing writes itself. which is our podcast every week. They arrive at the City of Perfection, established 1902, with a population of, John, 14.
Yeah, no real place.
No, absolutely not. Loads to unpack here, by the way. Firstly, towns incorporated in 1902, Wanneroo, Perth, and I went to sing it, Wanneroo, but it's now to do with ABBA, of course. ABBA. Mm-hmm. Christmas, Arizona, John. Ground was broken there on Christmas Day. I like that. That's cute.
Cool.
Aris, Kazakhstan, where gypsy tears they keep you safe. Zeeland, North Dakota, where 82 people lived at the last census. Freeport City, Kansas, was in the bottom three least populated towns in 2020 with 5 people.
Jesus, that must be a riot, eh?
Yeah.
First what makes,
but they're probably all fucking related.
Aye.
What makes a city, according to the Wikipedia page about a city? No, really, it's a thing. Common population definitions of an urban area, be it city or town, range between 1,500 and 50,000 people, with most US states using a minimum between 1,500 and 5,000 inhabitants. Some jurisdictions set no such minimal. In the United Kingdom, city status is awarded by the Crown and then remains pertinent. Doesn't remain pertinent, but it also remains permanent.
Yeah.
It just so happens I can't fucking read, which is good. They pull up at Walter Chang's mini market. Did you spot Walter Chang, John?
Yeah, from Big Trouble in Little China.
Yeah, the old man from Gremlins, Gizmo's dad.
Is it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
he
God.
Gets Gizmo's dadded at the end, doesn't he? He dies in a lot of films around, 1990, doesn't he?
Aye,
Gremlins 2, 1990 as well.
Aye, 1990.
So,
it's Big Trouble in Little China for me.
Oh, of course. This Melvin, oh, he's a little shit boy throwing a basketball against a car. Fucking hate this kid, by the way.
He's in a few things, though.
Do you know what? I didn't look that up. I didn't look to see what else he was in. Like an idiot. I really
just didn't care, did you?
I really didn't. No, absolutely not.
He's in Pearl Harbor, though.
Is he really?
Aye, and he's in Tremors 3, Back to Perfection. Another thing.
Oh, they're all in Tremors 3, Back to Perfection.
Are they all back?
Yeah, they're all back.
But I noticed that wee lassie for...
Lex.
Aye, Jurassic Park.
Yeah. A little bit on Lex when I eventually get to that part of my notes. Inside, Bert and his wife Heather are there. Bert's arguing with Walter about these hollow points not being hydroshock hollow points. And those cars, hollow points. Where have we covered hollow points before? You know this word, John? Dum-dums?
Dum-dum.
you know this
yum,
word?
Yum, dum-dum.
The alcoves? The alcoves in Konigsig Park? a hollow point bullet is a type of expanding bullet which expands on impact with a soft target, transferring more or all of the projectile's energy into the target over a shorter distance. Apparently, hollow point bullets are used for controlled penetration, where over penetration could cause collateral damage.
Yeah, been there.
Make your own jokes, listeners. Yes, indeed, but you have. Hail Hydroshock is all I can think of. Chang's gives the boys a beer. It's a bar as well? Question mark. It's my kind of shop.
It's weird.
Bert suggests they turn up. It suggests if the government turn up uranium under the desert, they'll kick them all out. Eminent domain. So what the fuck is eminent domain? It's the right of a government or its agent to expropriate private property for public use with payment or compensation.
Easy for you to say.
Indeed. Is it like a prepper nutter, basically? And one of them says, you'll have a heart attack before you have the chance to survive WW3. Okay. Out in the desert, we see sand and rocks tumbling, and Rhonda's seismograph starts up. We get this point of view shot through the sand, and a massive bubble up of sand, basically chasing her as she gets into the truck and leaves.
Yep.
Seismology, John. Seismic waves propagate outwards from an earthquake in all directions. Seismic waves can penetrate through layers of ice and rock, allowing scientists to detect the presence of subsurface oceans on icy moons and other celestial bodies.
There you go.
I looked up seismographs. I found seismograph GMV-10, With air over pressure microphone. Nope, me either. £3,800 from AccuDataLimited.co.uk. Even their website names are fucking boring, aren't they?
Did you not find Dr. Grant's one that you just get a shotgun and just shoot the...
Oh, that was amazing, wasn't it? The reading
thing. Fucking shotgun there, yeah, bang. I found us a dinosaur, boys.
Yeah, gotta get me one of them.
Yeah, I know I have. Fact, that's no true. That's no real. Boo.
Back with the boys, they're using this bulldozer to push garbage into a hole. This was the job, by the way. They said they were getting paid $50.
I know.
In today's money, $117.99.
I'd do that for rubbish.
It's not a bad job, is it?
Nah.
I can imagine worse. This is low. We really need to set our sights higher. Smash cut to them. Someone emptying a septic tank.
Oh, right.
Now that is a shit job.
That's bad.
Walsh Brothers in Alloa, John, will empty your septic tank, not a euphemism, from £200 plus VAT.
All right.
I assume that they'll just empty it into the streets in Alloa.
Aye.
As it was named the third worst town in the UK to live in this year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yay.
The reason it wasn't named number one is because I no longer live in Alloa. It would 100% be the shittest town to live in if I still live there. There you go. Oh, this Rhonda character, by the way, the actress, Finn Carter, she's got a bit of a history. I'd not seen her in anything else, which is weird because she's kind of like a cute little newcomer in this. On July the 30th, 2019, then 59-year-old Carter was arrested in Las Vegas, Nevada, and booked on one count of possessing a stolen vehicle and 14 counts of possessing a credit card without the cardholder's consent.
What?
Yeah. William Holding Carter, the third, was an American journalist and politician who served as Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs under President Jimmy Carter. He frequently appeared on the news and provided updates during the Iran hostage crisis and, of course, is Finn Carter's dad.
Ah, right, okay.
There you go.
Aye, she was like the newbie, wasn't she?
Her and another actress who we're going to talk about a little bit later on. They're heading to the big city of Bixby now. Bixby. So they're basically leaving. They've gone, look, we're not going to do this anymore. We're going to leave. They've loaded up like the car, like the van with all their shit. Nancy stops them. She needs a pottery kiln built. It's a month's work. She says, I'll do your lunches and beer. And they say no and head out. And they're celebrating the fact that they were able to say no to the beer.
Yeah, I thought that's brilliant.
Quite like. As they pass an electric pylon, they see this character, Edgar Deeds, high up on it. They decide they can't leave him up there. They do rock, paper, scissors, and Val loses again. He keeps losing
this
rock, paper, scissors, which obviously ends up being a thing later on, because he loses every single time. He heads up to find him, but he's clutching his gun, and he's Deeds.
Heavy Deeds.
He is Heavy Deeds in Deeds. Rock, paper, scissors, John, the earliest form of this game, originated in China and was subsequently imported into Japan, where it reached its modern standardized form for being spread throughout the world in the early 20th century. And it is what is known as a zero-sum game. Zero-sum games are defined as a situation that involves two sides, where the resultant is an advantage for one side and an equivalent loss for t'other.
Right. Okay.
So there is literally, it's going to go one way or the other. There isn't a tie, as the Americans would say.
Yeah. So Deeds is heavy. Deeds is dehydration.
So they head to see the doctor, don't they? And we find out, exactly that. He was dehydrated. He was up there for days. He must have been scared of somebody's but he's got his Winchester rifle. He wouldn't be scared of anybody with that. Out of town on a sheep farm, we see the cattle getting spooked. The farmer continues digging, and we hear him get dragged off screen and scream. So the boys are now leaving town again, debating why Deeds was up there and what he was scared of. Just then, they pass Fred's farm, and they see the sheep corpses everywhere, and no sign of Fred, but they do see his hat. When Val lifts up his hat, what have we got?
It's the Jaws moment, isn't it? When the body rolls
out. He'd literally drop dead Fred head. further down the road, it's being worked on, and Earl tells the guys that there's a murderer out there. They ignore it, and the guy with the pneumatic drill carries on until he strikes something that screams. And all this blood wells up.
Do you recognise the screams?
No, was it Wilhelm scream?
No. I recognise it, so double check and see what it was, but apparently it was used in Predator 2 and Starship Troopers.
Oh, right. Oh, wow.
So that sound effect was used, that's been used a few times, actually, but they were the two that I picked out.
Good spot,
yeah. Oh, and they had a hard hat.
He did have a hard hat.
And do you know why it's called a hard hat?
Because it's hard?
Because to make them, they hard-boil them.
What?
So the original hard hat was manufactured out of steamed canvas glue and leather trim. So they boiled it. So hard boiled. That's why it's called the hard hat.
Leather trim's my favourite trim.
Oh, hey.
This thing drags him and the drill up this hill and to his death, but also causing this massive rock slide. Pneumatic drill, John, if you want one, I found a Makita, I love you so, HM1317C AVT, 30mm hex demolition hammer, £915.20, including VAT from HSStools.com.
Nice. Fair price.
Yeah.
Fair
price. It's some fucking title, that, isn't it? The demolition hammer.
I know. It's like, you can't misconstrued what that means, that's for.
No, absolutely not. Back at the store, the boys tell the town what's gone on, but the phone line's dead. They head out to get the police from Bixby, but the road's caved in, of course.
Yep.
We see a hard hat with gore in it. Val, reversing the truck, manages to get the truck stuck doing this three-point turn. Is it me? And it just won't go.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely the second film in a row, John, where they fuck a gearbox this.
Aye. Yep.
Oh, I hate it. He eventually gets it clear and the boys return to the... I've written the village because for me it's just a village.
Yeah.
Under the truck, we see what looks like this fat, ugly snake attached to the back axle.
Mm-hmm.
Or as you call him, wee jock.
Little jock.
Bert prizes him off. And Chang buys it from them for $15.
Of course he does.
Bert explains there must be... There must be more of them to eat a whole flock of sheep.
Mm-hmm.
Before we move on, I'd like to talk, John, about the character Heather Gummer, Bert's wife, right?
Yes.
She's played by Reba McEntire. Do you know this? Do you know that? You know this woman? Do you know her?
No.
Hugely popular, one of the most decorated country singers on the planet, by the way.
Oh, great. Sorry, I did have something.
Almost as well decorated as that new famous country singer, Beyonce.
Beyonce, yeah, yeah. That up and coming starlet.
I mean, it's a good sound, man. That new Beyonce stuff's a good sound. I don't care who knows it. I don't even like country music. But anyway, back to.
Have you liked it? You should have stuck a stirrup on it.
Very good. That's good. See, not all these jokes are 30 years old, listeners. She's got 33 studio albums and she's been nominated for 221 awards and won 91. That's some return. She was nominated for a Saturn Award for this. You remember the Saturn Awards, John? They're the sci-fi film awards.
Oh, I know.
She lost to Whoopi Goldberg in Ghost.
Oh, what?
Yeah, I mean, no shame.
Tie-in. No,
the last won an Oscar for that role, so yeah. It's pretty good.
Was this her first film?
This is her debut film, yeah, in her mid-30s. As an actor, she had 6 seasons of the show called Reba, which I assume was about the metal inside concrete pillars. There you go, listeners, back to old jokes.
I was expecting an old Scottish detective. Rebus.
Reba, underlays. Carpet fitter, obviously. Right, anyway, back to this peach of a film.
Yep.
The doctor and his wife are working on their house out in the desert. It's romantic, I like it. They're going, oh yeah, well, come on, maybe we could head back to Bixby or something. Oh no, we'll go to Bixby. Oh yeah, it's got the cinder blocks are in, or whatever. So a couple of things. Where's Bixby? Bixby, I found is a city in Tulsa and Waggoner counties in the U.S. state of Oklahoma, and is a suburb of Tulsa, the 19th largest city in Oklahoma.
Right.
Not this one, of course. This one's a made-up.
Yeah, yeah.
Cinder blocks, John. I thought, surely you don't build your house out of, like bricks of ash.
Yeah.
But it's got to be breeze blocks, isn't it? What's the difference? Just the name. Cinders, fly ash or bottom ash, as an aggregate material, are called cinder blocks in the States. But they're known as breeze blocks in the UK, in the term derived from breeze, referring to small cylinders and cylinder dust that are created by partially burned coal. No, I couldn't figure that out either, but I just took it off the internet. The generator dies, and when they head to look at the generator, it's gone. The cord leading to it is in the sand. The doctor pulls it out, and it's gone. Just then, the ground erupts and spits out what's left of it. He's like, oh, what was that stink?
I know.
It smells like those geysers that we smelt when we were at Yellowstone. I was like, what the hell do geysers stink of? They stink of hydrogen sulfide, which is a colourless, flammable gas and has a distinctive rotten egg smell that many people notice in any geyser basins. Jim gets grabbed and dragged into the ground, only for one of the worms off the axle of the car to chase the woman into the car. She hits the radio and this country song comes on. The worm hits the window but can't get in, and just then the car starts to get sucked into a hole and there is silence.
Like Margot Kidder in
the
Superman 2.
The song on the radio, John? Yeah, well done. Yeah.
Jeepers Creepers? Was it Jeepers
Creepers? It's a cowboy-loving night. It wasn't, no. Cowboy-loving night by Tanya Tucker, who I think might be a character out of EastEnders. 1977, it made 7 on the US Hot Country Songs and 2 on the Canada A Country Chart.
Tanya Tucker, huh? But she's a goer.
Yeah, I mean, only if she asks nicely. Yay!
Hey, that'd be a good drag name, wouldn't it?
Back at the... Tanya Tucker.
Tucker.
I mean, I'm still waiting for you to make your debut, so why not? Let's do it. Back at the store, Chang is charging $3 for photos with the creature.
I see it wrapped in that poopy lass's neck.
He's making money already. She's screaming. The residents are planning, but the phone is out and the road's blocked, means that they're blocked in. The CB radio only goes as far as the hills. The plan is for the boys to go in on Chang's horses. The line is, they better not be canners. I was like, what does that mean? Canners are horses that are only good for the slaughterhouse.
Oh, that's horrible, man. That's a rub. Is it really? Canners.
Melvin the shitboy runs out with the beast round his neck. It's got me! It's got me! And obviously he's faking. Melvin, one of these days someone's going to kick your ass. It's quite a good line.
Mm-hmm.
The lads head out and make it as far as the trailer and the half-built house. The car's gone, we just missed them is all, but then they hear the radio and head over to where the car was, only to see the front grille pointing out.
Mm.
The guys head out until the horses get spooked and throw them. John, how fast can a horse run with a rider? Your bog standard basic nag can run anything up to 40 miles an hour. But with a rider, you're looking at tops 20 miles an hour.
Oh, really? God, that is really bringing the speed down, isn't it?
It's still pretty fast, though, isn't it?
Aye, but they wouldn't have left the picket and all that nice and light so they could go like the clapper still.
Tiny little guys.
Jesus. Yeah. I just remember his spitting in his puppet.
He not go to jail?
Did he?
Yes, a little craggy face. He went to jail for tax evasion. Yeah.
I'm sure he was. Did he become a singer? Oh no, it's a flying piggots. Hey, no.
Fucking hell.
We'll cut all these good jokes out.
Do not. No, we will not. They're the best bits. One of the horses gets grabbed by the worm and the ground starts to bulge before a massive sandworm rears its ugly face. The worms are part of it, like little tongues. There's three in each one. The lads run for it and make it to this concrete gully, which they jump, but can't make it and land in it. It's brilliant. It's like, we're going to make it. We're going to make it. We didn't
we're
make
not
it.
Gonna make it. We're not going to make it. It's quite good. That. I like that. We're going to make it. No, we're not.
The worm runs into the concrete and that kills it. We see the mini tongue kind of through the concrete and it's blatantly dead and bleeding. Rona shows up and helps them dig it out. She says it's got no eyes. It must use the tentacles to feel and grab. Meanwhile, Val's dug it out. Hey, I found the ass end.
Tentacles.
Rhonda's done a research and sees there's at least two others have been seen on the spirograph or whatever the fuck it's called.
I know.
At the same time.
So I was looking up the biggest earthquake measured for the on the Richter scale, 9.5. Okay. In 1960, back in the day,
right,
in Sill and Shelley. So that's a hell of a that's a hell of a riot.
Yeah. John, what a horse is scared of? Sudden movements such as a rustling bush, a small animal darting across the trail, or a plastic black bag blowing in the wind, in spite of it being the most beautiful thing. any of these can catch their attention and elicit a spooking response.
Hmm.
If you were to ask me, John, what I'm scared of, it's probably our patrons. So here's a shout-out to Kieran, Jen and Adam, Megan, Dale, Ali, Maria, Ian, Emily, Nigel, Rachel, Jake and Phil. You wormy the good, bastards.
The good ones, I know. Thanks for picking this. Genuinely, thanks for picking this.
Yeah, well, some of them did. Some of them certainly did. It can't follow them because they run and hide on this big rock. It slopes off under the sand. Later on the rock, they're discussing that there's no fossil record, so they could be a few billion years old. Val thinks they're mutations.
Yeah.
But Earl's like, oh no, they could be from space!
Mutated
which
worms.
Obviously is another option. There's a whole lot of they really stink thing, and there's a bit like, and I thought these things smelt bad on the outside. And they decide they can't stay here forever, and Val goes to leave, only getting attacked by this worm tongue. So we find out that they listen to vibrations, at least that's what Rhonda thinks.
Mm-hmm.
They're still on the rock next morning. Val throws a shovel, and it's still there, it attacks the shovel. While they're planning, Rhonda grabs this wooden pole and vaults over to another rock. They pole vault over, rock to rock, and then until they get to Rhonda's truck.
Yeah, yep.
She drives them off as they're getting attacked. Back at the store, the boys and Rhonda are explaining to everyone what they are. Someone's bound to come and save them while the road is blocked and the lines are down. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, never going to happen.
Val explains that they're heading towards them. And the other deaths were further down the valley. He's like, it's just like a smorgasbord, isn't he? Like, he's plotting on the map where they're coming from. Okay. And the whole point of this valley is that it's completely surrounded on all sides by rocks, and there's only one road out, and obviously that's caved in. The names that they're going through, Snakeoids, Slimeoids, and finally Graboids.
Aye.
Which, credit where it's due, they stick with Graboids for the whole of all of these movies.
Aye.
Which, listeners, if you haven't been involved in the fucking Tremors expanded universe, then boy, have you got some films to catch up.
Loads, isn't there? Is there seven or something?
The TV series. I was really into the TV series.
Wow.
It was like a sci-fi channel TV series in the early 2000s. And the only one that's in it is
Gross.
The prepper guy.
Family Ties guy.
Gross. Yeah. I mean, at least he's made a fucking career out of it.
Oh, God.
Is that what he's out of? He's out of Family Ties.
Apparently,
the
finished Family Ties, and the very next day he was on this project. So he doesn't let the grass grow, I tell you.
Fair enough. He's absolutely not.
Jesus.
The only one I haven't seen is the newest one, which is like a straight to DVD on an island thing where they're hunting them. It's not even on Perfection.
Oh, really? It's no good if it's not on Perfection.
Melvin's bouncing his ball outside. He screams and they head out, He's actually been attacked this time and is hiding up a pole. Just then, a graboid comes out of the ground and they all run inside. Rhonda whispers, "Remember, no noise, no vibrations." Mindy the kid, who you've already pointed out, is Lex from Jurassic Park, John.
Yeah.
Ariana Richards, she's called, and she doesn't act anymore.
Aye.
But she was in the music video for Ben Folds Five's Brick in 1997, and her career now is painting landscapes.
Oh, really? Good on her.
She's jumping up and down the street on this fucking pogo stick.
Yeah.
Which obviously causes a lot of vibrations.
Do you know the most consecutive jumps?
No, I do not.
So the most consecutive jumps on a pogo stick is 115,170.
All right, wow.
That's amazing. And the highest flip, as in back flip, front flip, whatever it is, is 3.2 metres, so it's 10 feet 6 inches high. That's crazy, isn't it?
What? Yep. Fucking hell, that is crazy. Yeah. George Hansberg, John, is the man who patented the pogo in 1919. Legend has it George was travelling in Burma where he met a man with a daughter named Pogo. Yeah, whatever. The father invented a stick that Pogo could jump on every day to and from temple. So I don't know about that, but it's on the internet, so it must be true.
True.
Should you want to buy one, listeners, £75.20 for a QAX pogo stick in black at unicycle.com, which sounds like the kind of website that only arseholes shop at.
It really does, doesn't it?
By the way, Lexi's mum's hair, that fringe, by the way, proper home haircut, isn't it?
Proper bangs, isn't it? Jesus.
Bangs indeed, sir. Yes. She's out there doing the pogoing thing, and Val dives and proper rugby tackles, like murders her, doesn't he?
Oh, he really does, doesn't he?
Just before the stick gets eaten, he heads onto the truck and starts to get sucked down by this thing. A second one shows up as Rhonda's running. She gets her feet caught in a barbed wire fence somehow. I don't know how you get your feet caught barbed wire. And the thing's dragging her down, but Val pickaxes it in the head. And that gives Rhonda time to get her jeans off.
Get her pants off. Oh, God, eh?
And they run back into the store. By the way, John, on the subject of haircuts, the store also does haircuts. $6 I saw a sign at this point.
Yeah.
Walter is some enterprising guy, isn't he?
It's like a hardware store. I was looking at the shelf, and on the shelf there was boots, kids' boots. There was all sorts of, there was loads going on, so...
Yeah, elastic bands, he's serving beer.
Lucky Strikes.
It's the place to be. It really is, John, the place to be. The plan is to go up into the hills, but the path is all wrecked. Just then, the freezer kicks into noisy life. It does it earlier in the film. And obviously, that's kind of Chekhov's freezer, isn't it?
Yeah.
They manage to switch it off, but it's too late, and a graboid comes up, and graboids Chang, stabbing him and dragging him back down. It's Gizmo I feel for, I've got to be honest.
Who's going to look after the poor Giz? And it just came up with the name Graboid as well, just before he went.
He had, yeah, absolutely. He was, at some point, he was going to end up being a rich man.
Yeah.
So who coined the term Graboids? Well, he's actually dead. Oh, well, looks like you boys can have all the money then.
Yeah, you have it.
Yeah. The second one shows up and they all climb onto the shelves until one of the graboids knocks over the shelves like this domino rally type thing.
Yeah.
And it throws Rhonda, or at least a fucking stunt person dressed as Rhonda.
Yeah, with a terrible fucking wig. Oh, Jesus.
The boys and Miguel, a character I'd completely forgotten about and didn't have in my notes until now, head up to the roof and they spot Rhonda climbing up the water tower.
Yep.
Melvin does the same on his outhouse when one of them attacks him. We see Bert and Heather returning home. The truck, by the way, has the plate Uzi for you.
No beating, you know.
Okay. Well, I assume that's the graboid's plate, John. Eating you. Heather looks over to the town in her binoculars.
Yes. She's everybody in the roof.
They're all on the roof. While Bert tries to get hold of them on the radio. Yeah. The boys tell him to get out the basement and up on the roof, explaining that they're on the way and bigger than they thought. They're both lock and load. They're basically, this house they've got has got this storm cellar, hasn't it?
Yeah.
That they've built. Yeah. And you can quite blatantly see the walls are made of breeze blocks. Or cinder blocks, I guess.
Yeah.
And all the tools start to fall off the walls, and one bursts through the wall, grabs Bert with the tongue, and they empty a bunch of magazines, clips, and all these rounds into it.
Yes.
She even shoots a flare into its gob.
No having it, is it?
And then Bert smashes open this emergency cabinet.
That's
elephant gun.
It's a real gun, yep. It's a William Mooring Co. 8-gauge shotgun, and apparently it's a real thing. So it was a collector's gun that they got a loan of, but those cartridges you see are just made up. But that is
right, okay, because they're massive.
They're massive, aren't they? Yeah, I think absolutely. They basically just cut some copper pipe and put some dum-dums on the top, but it looks amazing, doesn't it?
It takes that to take it down, though, doesn't it? Like it's,
oh, God, aye.
Yeah.
It's shoot the face off it.
He goes, "We killed it. We killed that mother humper." Which I assume is how this got like a 12 or something.
Yeah.
So I think it was probably a 15 at one point. Probably still is a 15. It's pretty grim. He's Roger that, Bert. However, there are two more. Repeat, two more mother humpers. Which I quite like. I did think I was watching the TV cut at first. On the roof, Bert realises he can't fire through the dirt, even with this amazing elephant.
That's something else, isn't it? Something else.
Yeah. Rhonda spots Graboid working on the foundations, and the store starts to move. Another character that I'd not written anything about is this arsehole Nestor, who earlier on was going, "Oh, I'll just use a pickaxe," and then, "Oh, I'll just use a chainsaw." They're like, "You're not listening." And of course, he doesn't listen again. He gets tipped off a caravan and eaten.
Yeah, gets rid of him. He was at the name day, wasn't he?
Yeah,
absolute nobody.
Mr. Not included in this film.
Yeah.
They're figuring out how buildings work, aren't they? And how they can bring down the buildings. Clever girl.
Clever girl.
At Bert's, Heather confirms the truck has been wrecked by one of them. Val says they need a helicopter or a tank. Earl says they should use the cat, the bulldozer.
Yeah.
They won't all fit on it, but pulling an old trailer will work. Or would, if the cat wasn't so far away. Miguel has got the worst and best Mexican accent in the world, doesn't he?
It really does.
"Use Walter's little tractor!" They set it off and they let them follow it as a distraction. It's just like this little quad tractor.
Quad bike,
yeah. Just then, the building starts collapsing further, and so that's the plan. They've got to do it. Earl is about to run for the cat, only for Val to wind him and jump off the roof. As he's on the way, the tractor turns over and stops the Graboids, turn their attention to him. And before he can make it, they pretty much catch him. But he stands stock still, which I'm pretty sure goes against what they were doing previously. I don't think standing still would do it. I don't know. It wasn't particularly
consistent.
It's
just too easy, isn't it? It's just too easy.
Yeah. The rest of the group starts shouting. But Rhonda instead kicks open a pipe from the water tower, which leaks the water from a height onto the ground. Obviously, that works. Because as we know, when it rains, worms always come up to the surface.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is why seagulls do that little stampy thing, which I love seeing, by the way. So cute. Val grabs the cat and hooks it up to the trailer. The Grabby boys now are grabbing the water tower base as Val slowly arrives. Rhonda jumps onto the truck. And the wormies are grabbing at the truck, but they can't keep hold of it.
It's too big. That's some machine, that, though, isn't it? It's massive.
Oh, yeah. At Bert and Heather's, they're making pipe bombs. Earl stops the cat, and the Graboids are getting a hold, so it's quick away once Bert and Heather are on.
Mm-hmm.
They say goodbye to the bomb shelter, food for 5 years, water and air filtration. And he goes, "All because of underground goddamn monsters." You know, I kind of liked. As they get towards the mountains, the cat collapses into the ground. The things have dug a trap, basically a gully.
Clever girl.
Yeah,
really clever.
Yeah, clever indeed. As they get attacked, Bert throws a pipe bomb, causing one to scream and retreat. It didn't kill it, though, so there's still two to go. Mm-hmm. Val spots an outcrop and suggests they head towards that. Rhonda suggests they throw a bomb at the ground, and when they scarper it, then gives them a chance to run and make it to the outcrop. Bert, the kids, the shit kids asking for a gun all the time, isn't it?
It really is.
And Bert's
isn't
like, not if it was World War III. And he eventually at this point says, look, here you go, take a gun.
There's a gun. Yep.
Yeah. And as they make it, he's like, the gun wasn't even loaded. He's like, you don't think I'm stupid enough to give you a loaded gun? By the way, John, this annoying shit boy is 50 years old now.
Jesus.
Speaking, of course, of annoying shit boys, it's time for the last of our patrons.
Yay.
Yeah, and this is specifically the arseholes who have shit to sell. So Candy, Stig, Oodles, Biggie and Gadget from Modern Escapism, who spent what seemed like an hour this week talking about a film I've not seen yet, but hopefully IMAX in London this weekend, baby. lovely Rob Jones is back with the new records and bands this week. Be here with Belson Boys, Dan and Gavin, who I'll also be seeing today as this goes out. Hallmark of Greatness is Joe. We did Escape from the Bronx this week. Escape from the Bronx.
Wow.
John, atrocious Italian action with all the slow-mo jumping you can imagine.
Nice.
SP film viewers are doing Titanic this week. I'm not saying it's a long episode, but it's been 84 years. Aaron from Z1 Podcast is still getting his shit together for the summer. Oh, actually, John, that reminds me. He wants zombie noises for the pod. So shall we just do two birds with one stone?
Yeah.
Brains.
So, Helene.
Right, it's your turn. Go on.
That's just me snoring when I'm drunk, innit?
There you go. That'll do. Aaron, we'll get you some proper ones together when we're not farting about. Josh Wilson, super familiar with the Wilsons, who is going to be in London as of this point. Punk from What the Fuck Do You Want Pod is talking conspiracy theories with our good friend Dean. He's also on Cult Connections, talking about the Bad Batch. And finally, Kira, John. Kira's forcing Mono to watch all the Twilights. Right?
Oh, what? I know he's a C word, but he's not that bad.
We'll be on the second one. And, mate, it is so funny just to hear his soul ebb away.
Oh, what did they do to deserve that? What did they do?
But all the way through, she's going, I know it's a terrible film. I know it's a terrible film. I know it's a terrible film, but I kind of like it.
Oh,
stop putting your man through it all.
I
cannot wait till he just watches an hour of her crying in bed. Not his wife, although I believe that happens as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've been particularly horrible to Mono this week. Stig will complain. So it works, and they manage to make it to the rocky outcrop. One of them almost gets Bert, but they make it. They don't have enough bombs to make it to the mountains. They would need like 50 bombs to do that. Heather and Bert lose it. They made them leave a place with food and water, but Val says they had to do it, and they should have just left them. If those graboids don't kill him, I will, was quite a good line. Bert says he'll walk out with a lit bomb and boom, take them down. Earl says it's actually quite a good idea. Fishing. Let's go fishing. They throw rocks to get its attention before throwing one with a long fuse. What fuse is this? It's a cannon fuse. Oh, what do you use that for? My cannon.
That's quite funny, actually.
Why didn't we see the cannon?
Well, I looked up cannon fuse, and it's just basically string with sort of glueish stuff on it dipped in gunpowder. That's basically what it is.
All right. Okay. Boom. Earl does a lasso and throws the bomb. The thing eats it and gets blammoed.
Blammo.
It's pretty gruesome, this. We finally see a big bunch of blood and crap.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
It's like a pumpkin, isn't it?
It's very much like a button squash. Val does it this time and throws the bomb. They hide behind the rock. It takes the bait, but it spits it out at them. And the lit bomb, of course, lands on the bag of bombs, blowing them up. Now, another bit that kind of skipped by me, but I'm always making notes, so I don't always get it. But Val, Rhonda and Earl end up really, really far away from everybody else. Like, the others aren't far away, but these three are.
Yeah.
I didn't really get that. And they're cornered by the graboid. The rest of the gang distract it, but this one's smarter. And only goes slightly below the sand.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone tells Val to use the bomb, the last bomb, but instead he makes a run for it. He doesn't have the lighter, but Rhonda does, so she runs after them. They run to the cliff edge, and Val throws the bomb behind it. When it explodes, it causes it to run from the blast and over the cliff, splattering it below.
Yep.
His line, by the way, "Can you fly, sucker? Can you fly?"
Can you fly, which I loved, Bobby?
But that's exactly what I thought, John. Can you fly, Bobby?
That's what I thought. Can you fly, Bobby?
I'm glad it wasn't just me. And he says, and it just hit me. Stampede. And I was like, ah, it's a good callback. It's a good callback. Yep. Back in town, the boys are fixing the truck. When we get to Bixby, we can make some money. Another RoboCop reference, Bixby. I'll buy that for $50. We could be in People magazine or in National Geographic.
National Geographic, yep.
Rhonda, both magazines we've done, by the way. Yep. Rhonda thanks Val for saving her life. She's interested, but he's an idiot until Earl tells him to go and get her. He follows her, they kiss, and that's it.
Yep.
There you go.
Had to be reshot, by the way. That just had to be reshot. Oh, really? Yeah, apparently they never kissed at the end, and apparently the focus groups that first watched it was complaining, so they actually had to reshoot that bit.
With a kiss on it. Right, wow. The end credits, there's a song, Why Not Tonight, from Reba McEntire's What Am I Going to Do About You album.
Mm-hmm.
The album debuted, as they say in Australia, at 36 on the country album chart on the week of October 25th, 1986, and peaked at number one for the week of January the 21st, 1987, day before my 7th birthday. It stayed at the top for 3 consecutive weeks.
Nice.
There you go. The film made $16 million off of an $11 million budget. But I assume it made all its money in college. On VHS.
Yeah, it would have done. Cult classic, no, isn't it?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely a cult classic, 100%. Right, that is the film. John, do you have any more facts?
Right, so apparently at the time of shooting, Kevin Bacon's wife was pregnant, and he literally called it to say he's probably made the worst decision of his life acting in this movie. He thought it was his career low.
Oh.
He originally resented being in it, hated it, but as later come to see it as maybe a turning point in his career, and doesn't see it as such a bad thing anymore. Which is good, because I thought he was really good in it. I thought he enjoyed it, but I apparently hated it.
Okay.
World's largest truck. So I was looking at Caterpillar trucks. So the world's largest truck has been in production from Cat since 1998. It is the 797 series, which is, I don't even see them, but when you see the big mining things, the big Caterpillar trucks with the big, massive tyres.
Yeah, I have megalophobia. I'm scared of anything that's too big.
Big.
So and yeah, I know them. The problem is I can't stop looking at them. That's the weirdest thing. You know, like you look at that with a much smaller but still utterly fucking massive truck next to it. Yeah, it makes me feel a bit sick. Yeah.
Will they cost $5 million each?
Oh wow! Trucks?
Yeah, because they've got such unique. No, the new size. And this one, general consensus that people can survive for around 3 days without water. Estimated typical ranging from 2 days to a week. Wilderness guys often refer to the rule of three, which means that a person can live 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. The rule of three.
Wilderness guys!
A wilderness guy! and I've already done a couple of the guns, but I'll do a couple more. Rifles, Heckler and Glock, Colt, Assault Rifle 15, and let's go for handgun. God, we take handguns all the time. There's this Rocker Redhawk. I like that. Rocker Redhawk. And I think he was handed, I'm sure that wee boy was handed a Colt handgun, but there's a Colt single action arm and a Smith & Wesson Model 28. And that's me.
Fantastic. Good work. there's a bit where your man Chang, he says, here's some Swiss cheese and bullets. I was like, is that the name of the new Banksy? Turns out it's not. It's absolutely not. Right, largest underground dwelling creatures, John, other than my ex, the Olm or Proteus is an aquatic salamander. They've been known to reach 16 inches long, which makes them the largest subterranean creature on the planet. And also, this is really cool, they can live for 100 years.
Jesus, really?
Absolutely, I guess. Because they're living off fucking spelunkers.
Is that the ones for descent?
That's right, yeah, absolutely. Pole vaults, John. The Olympic records in the event are 6.03 metres for men, set by Thiago Braz de Silva. He's Welsh in 2016. And 5.05 metres for women, set by Yelena Isinbayeva. Yelena Isinbayeva. I don't know. But she's Russian. There you go. Obviously she is. In 2008. The truck, John, that she's got is a Mazda, the red one. Mazda truck is a B2200 and features in another Fred Ward film. 2004's, listeners, Funky Monkey.
Ah, God.
The plot of Funky Monkey, John, for what it is, centres around boy genius Michael Dean, who teams up with super talented chimpanzee and his caretaker to take down an animal testing lab. Add it to the list, Rachel.
Get it on the list.
I found one town, one real town, in America called Perfection, and it is in North Carolina, and it's a ghost town. it no longer exists.
Perfection for some, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. Final thing, pipe bombs. I googled how to make one, found loads of brilliant websites. So for any of our more radical listeners, if you want to know about making homemade IEDs, then give us a quid at patreon.com/100thingsfilm and I'll drop my very own Jolly Rogers cookbook when we get to 30 patrons. So I just need 5 more and I will... I'll read out some recipes for you. That is all I've got. While I top them up, John, do you want to have a guess?
73.
Higher.
92.
Higher.
98.
Too high, John. 96.
Oh, what?
Which is one better than last week.
Oh,
fucking hell.
That is amazing.
Fucking hell, mate.
Oh,
we're getting there.
Jesus.
We're getting there. I wish I'd learned more about... I wish I'd got more facts about the woman that burns her own studios down or whatever she does.
Oh, it's...
Damn, I wish we'd done... if only we'd done, like, 6 degrees of... Fred Ward.
I know, we both had a couple. Or a quiz. A wee quiz would have tidied that right.
Oh, a wee quiz. Yeah, no, not knowing your fucking style of quiz. anyway.
And the minus.
It is what it is. Yeah, fantastic. So, listeners, once again, if you like what we do, give us a like on the socials. Follow us there. We do share. We tend to share a lot of memes and bits and pieces. So that's 100thingswelearnfromfilm.co.uk. Alternatively, give us a quid at patreon.com/100things. And you, like these lovely people, will get the chance to get a shout out every episode.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go back to being horrible to people. I'm gonna definitely go back to being horrible to people. So next week, no episode next week. We're having a week off because me and Rachel are in London, did big pod meets and things. But we will and obviously relaxing. He says. But we'll be back in a couple of weeks with Blade. We're doing Blade, John, if you
boom,
remember,
boom,
with our,
boom, boom, boom,
with our
boom,
guest
yep.
and good friend of the podcast, Oodles, from Modern Escapism. Then we'll only have one Modern Escapee to have on, and that's never going to happen, because Candy don't do now. She's a busy lady. I'll maybe trade a guest spot on the podcast for me getting a very expensive tattoo when I'm down south next. John, do you want to say something in your final parting shots, as it
were? Well, do you know, as patrons, I don't know what's going on, but the last couple of times we put out films, they've been picking good ones as well. So thank you very much, because usually they pick the rubbish ones. So thank you very much, patrons.
Oh, you've done it now, bud.
What?
Absolutely done it now. They're gonna come for us now.
No, I think they're warming to us. I really do.
Oh no, they like you. They fucking hate me, but they like you, and that's fine. Anyway, I've been Plenty. He's been John. And this has been 96 Things We Learnt from Tremors. Can you fly, sucker? See ya.
See you guys.